Good morning, everybody, and a happy Christmas to you all. Unfortunately, I can't be with you today because I have COVID-19. So you're getting me virtually instead. We all love a good story. And probably one of our most favourite types of stories are the rags to riches stories, where someone starts off in a disadvantaged situation and through hard work and good breaks ends up succeeding in life. Indeed, during the week, I've been reading about some rags to riches stories, including people like Oprah Winfrey and Dolly Parton, who were born into poor circumstances, but ended up succeeding. And I take it one of the reasons why we like that type of story is because it gives us a sense that maybe we can succeed. If they were able to succeed, maybe we can as well. Well, as we come to the Christmas story, I want to say that the Christmas story is the exact opposite. The Christmas story is not a rags to riches story. It's actually a riches to rags story. And the verse in the Bible which really highlights the truth of this is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And this verse says this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." I'm just going to go through that verse bit by bit and explain it to you. First of all, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Santa Claus is not a person who shows grace. The myth of Santa Claus in our society today says that people only receive presents from Santa Claus if they are good, if they are deserving of those presents. Now, a person who shows grace shows generosity to people who do not deserve it, shows generosity to people who have hurt them or harmed them or wronged them in some kind of way. And what we are told is that Jesus has shown grace. And the people that he has shown to grace is each and every one of us, the Bible says. None of us deserves what it is that Jesus has done for us. But what did Jesus actually do? Well, let's look at the next part of our verse. "That though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor." In our first reading this morning from John chapter 1, we read about a figure called the Word who was with God and the Word who was God. And we read later on in that passage that this Word took on human flesh. Now, the Word being referred to there in John 1 is Jesus. He's called the Word because it's a way of describing how he reveals God to the world. Jesus is God the Son, who took on human flesh and revealed God to the world. But what 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 is telling us is that becoming human meant that Jesus gave up all the riches that were his as God the Son. Now, when we think about rich people today, we think about people like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates. But friends, their riches are nothing compared to the riches that Jesus gave up when he came into this world as a human being. We simply cannot fathom the riches that Jesus gave up when he became human. Now, Bill Gates is someone who certainly has been giving away his riches to very good causes. But here's one thing for certain about Bill Gates. Yes, he's being generous, but Bill Gates will always have a fairly comfortable lifestyle, I think. I don't think he'll ever give away his riches to the extent where he is left poor and having to beg, where he is literally slumming it. But in the case of Jesus, he gave up all the riches of heaven, and his first bed was an animal's feeding trough. And indeed, from Luke 2, we know that the kind of sacrifices that Joseph and Mary offered after Jesus' birth were the kinds of sacrifices offered by poor people. So Jesus gave up all the riches of heaven, became human, and the family that he was born into was a poor family. But friends, Jesus' descent into poverty continued further. And that's where we come to the Easter story. For his descent into poverty came to its ultimate climax as he died on the cross. Friends, Jesus always lived in perfect obedience to God his Father. He lived the life of obedience that we simply do not live. And when Jesus died on the cross at the hands of the Romans, he was doing so in obedience to his Father. Indeed, as Jesus hung on the cross, darkness came over the land, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For you see, what was happening as Jesus was hanging on the cross was that all the punishment that we deserve for our wrongdoing against God, for our rebellion against his good rule, was actually poured out upon Jesus. He took all of that for us. And that event on the cross was the climax of his poverty. He, who had all the riches of heaven, gave that up to be born into a poor family, and he descended further into poverty through a most humiliating death on the cross for our sake. But here's the question. Why did Jesus become poor for our sake? Why did he go through all of that for our sake? We'll look at the last part of 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It says this: "So that you, through his poverty, might become rich." So that we all, through his poverty, that is, his birth, his death in our place, so that through that we might become rich. Now, friends, the kind of riches that are being spoken about here in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, are not the riches of this life. Indeed, the Lord Jesus said, seek out treasures on earth, but rather seek treasures in heaven. The problem with treasures on earth is that they perish, they spoil, they fade. The problem with treasures on earth is that we lose them when we die. See, death is the great leveler. Doesn't matter how rich or poor you are, when we die, we're all the same because we can't take anything with us. Now, the kinds of riches that 2 Corinthians 8 is speaking about are heavenly riches that never perish, that never spoil, that never fade, that last forever. They are the riches that Jesus gave up everything for so we could have them. We don't deserve them. We deserve punishment from God, not the riches of heaven. We deserve to be excluded from God's presence and to lose everything. But through Jesus, we can actually be with God forever and have all the treasures of heaven. Jesus is willing to share in all of those treasures with us. Now, friends, let me be very clear about one thing. We don't earn those treasures. We can never be good enough to have treasures in heaven, or else Jesus had no need to give up everything for our sake. But Jesus gave up everything for our sake, even though we didn't deserve it, so that we could have eternal treasures in heaven. And so it's possible for us, who spiritually are people in rags, to have riches. And it's all because Jesus, the one who had the riches, was willing to take on the rags for our sake. And so here's a question I want to ask you. If you were to die tonight, would you have certainty that you will be with God in heaven, enjoying all the riches of heaven? Now, the answer to that question is either yes or no. You can't say, "I don't know." You're either certain or you are not. If you are not certain, then friends, you need to take heed of this message about Jesus. And you need to trust in Jesus. For it is only by trusting in Jesus and all that he has done for us that it's actually possible for us to have those riches in heaven. I can say with absolute certainty that I will be with Jesus and that I will share in those treasures. And that's not an arrogant statement, because it's nothing to do with how good I am. It's all to do with the fact that Jesus gave up the riches of heaven to become poor, so that I, through his poverty, could become rich. My prayer is that you would have the certainty of the treasures of the life to come. For that is why Jesus was born on the very first Christmas. And that is why Jesus died for you. My prayer for each and one of you is that you would have that assurance of the treasures to come and the joy now that that gives us. But again, that only comes by trusting in Jesus, the one who gave up everything for us, so we could have everything that we simply don't deserve. Amen.